This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, so you rejoice and be glad in it. So good to see all of you. I see that those Edmondsons are representing the royal colors, you know. I'm still suffering from the fact that we gave up royal purple as our colors for the church. I'm still regretting
it. I know, I hate that.
In due season. Matter of fact, I think John that said, I'll bring forth the royal diadem. Bring forth royalty. I'm not even going to go there. This is another great lesson out of Numbers. It's going to be, I'm going to give you a 10,000 foot view and then conclude it for you next week. Is that all right? Is that all right? Give you a full wrap up. Is that all right with you, Minister Brown? All right. I got the thumbs up. Terry Jones told me it was okay. So it's okay. And Deacon Newsom told me it was okay. So I'm going to do that and try to get a little worship time in today. The mission of the 12 spies out of Numbers chapter 13. We're going to be looking at various verses 1 through 3, 17 through 20, 25 through 33. And the authors have entitled our lesson, The Mission of the 12 Spies. And we are in a unit talking about the faithfulness of God. And we've already learned that God is faithful even when you are not. And so we get another opportunity to see instance, another narrative, which describes the faithfulness of God, the patience of God with a bunch of folk who are very unfaithful and very ungrateful. Very unfaithful and very ungrateful. But despite all of that, God is still faithful. And that's what we're going to take from the lesson today. That's what we've done the last couple of weeks. And we will see that, Sister Hollis, again this week, that God is faithful. And we're going to see it from the perspective of God commanding you to do something for your benefit, and then we'll see. The mission of the 12 spies. Here we have the children of Israel again, God's chosen people, those who were have been in bondage for 400 years, have been liberated, and now are making this trek through the wilderness. And, you know, the more you study the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, the more you realize, because many folk asked Sister Hollis, why did God take them 40 years in the desert after these folk had been in there 400 years already? One preacher I heard years ago Deacon Newsom say that they were in slavery 400 years. That was the tithe. The 40 additional years was the tip, was the offering. So, you know, God's going to get that tithe and offering. But seriously, for 40 years, why did they have to do that? And it's because of the narrative that's printed in our text today, Sister Mills. We see again the faithfulness of God and the unfaithfulness and of the children of Israel. And it boils down to a lack of trust. I'm going to tell you this week, I was burdened by this particular text, because when it hits this close to home, when it is just so relevant in what's happening today. You're just wondering, Lord, is this the end times? Because in today's lesson, I don't know how you looked at it, but I looked at the political environment that we're in, and I delved deeply in it during the first half of the week. Brother Edmondson, I was bewildered to find out that here we are, centuries later, And we are still having the same problems that the children of Israel had. And you will wonder, wait a minute, we live in the 21st century, and these people, you know, you're talking about 1440 BC, and how is it that we could be compared? Because man's problems have not yet ended, and they will not end until Christ comes back. Man's problem is what it was from the very beginning, soon after the beginning, that is sin. It's a sin not to trust God. It's a sin not to have a God who meets all of our needs, provides all our cares for us, takes care of us, is patient with us, forgives us, you know, is our refuge, is our buckler, is our shield, is our lifter of our head. It's a shame to have a God this faithful and we be so unfaithful. But yet we find ourselves with all that God has given this country, with all that God has given this church, with all that God has given this city, with all that God has given this state, we still find men and women who simply don't trust him. And the sad thing is that there's more in store for us that God has for us if we'll only trust him and be faithful. Because the full promise has not yet come to fruition, Brother Edmondson. Jesus states when he comes, he says that I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, it's not a one-time thing. So the promises Jesus was saying that I make to you, that they are ongoing and continuous. So we are at the very brink. We are at the brink. I looked at the last 4 years. I looked at the economic conditions. I looked at the political conditions. I looked at the even the current plague that we're in. And it reminded me of what's going on in this text right here, Sister Mills. Oh, y'all say, come on, Brusney, please, surely you jest. It has nothing to do with this. It has everything to do with it. Because the very things that we face right now, the very things that we're going through in our political, our pandemic situations are based on our lack of trust in God. We are right at the point of a tremendous blessing. We're at the point where resources will be freed up so that men will have better qualities of life. We were right at the point where economic and political systems were settling out after great turmoil, after being in bondage. And now we've been asked to do something. Go and receive what God has prepared for us. And there are those who, just like the people in the lesson today, gave a bad report. Over in Isaiah 53, one of my favorite scriptures, Brother Keith, it says in verse 1, it says, who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, somebody better help me this morning. I tell you what, we're going to have a good time in church today. I can tell you, because we're going to have a good time in this lesson today. Because your report means everything. Your report is your testimony to the goodness of God. And God's character should never be assassinated. God's essence should never be questioned by folk who have their own agenda, who want to give a bad report when there's nothing bad to report. Oh, wait a minute. Let me say that again, Deacon Harmon, because you mean, I know Omega Man don't pick that up that quickly. It is terrible to give a bad report when there's no bad report to be given. I think Ray Cross got it now. He got it now. It's crazy. And it shows you that there are consequences, and we'll deal with those next week. But I'll set you up for it so that I can run. Open the door, Sister Mills. I'm coming through real quick. If I'm in a rush, don't let them lock the door on me. All right. Brother Hayes, you there.
Yes, sir.
And I got Minister Brown. She's in there. She's going to be ready. And let's get started. Verse 1 and 3. And I want to show you that getting ready to go into the promised land. We're open. We're ready to go. There's nothing to hinder us. And folks, this is on a trip that brings them right at the edge of the promised land. Sister Mills, you didn't hear me. I said it brings us very close. All they got to do is walk over. Wait a minute. I remember the narrative. Wasn't this supposed to take 40 years? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me all they got to do is go over to the land? Let's see what happened. Brother Hayes, if you would. Right quick.
Numbers 13, 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
what did he say?
Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Verse 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel.
Everything I missed today, I'll cover it next week. But let me show you something. In verse 2, God says, send men that they may search the land that I gave you. Wait a minute. Hey, Mr. Brown, they missed that. Steve, I'm telling you, they missed it. Because it says, he gave it to them. Well, first of all, why are you sending anybody to search anything if you already gave it to him? This ain't God's idea. This is God acquiescing, being patient with you about a gift that he's already given. Because it was the people, when you read Deuteronomy, you will find, over in Deuteronomy 1, you'll find that it was them that made the request, says, hey, let's go check this land out. And so God says, okay. Right then and there, when they made that request, you know what God said? I can tell you. You know that, you know those, there's two men that we introduced to you at the beginning of every basic doctrine session. Remember, Brother Edmondson, Sister Edmondson, remember those two men? One that says, and the other one that says, The idea men, the little straw men. Well, when they said that, Sister Mills, immediately God said, they're not ready. And you know what? He says, I'll show them that they're not ready. They're not ready to receive something that God already said that he was going to give them. My next point here, God had given them the land. They want to go search the land and see if it's suitable. Well, what's going to happen if it's not suitable? Are you going to say, oh, this is not suitable, God? You know, you got to find another place for us. Oh, we're going back to Egypt. I think not. But I want you to see something else right there. He says, I promised it to your father. And he said, I want you to send men from every tribe to represent every one of you, to be your representative. I want you to send men. I want you to send people to the nation's capital to decide how good things are. Y'all better listen to me this morning. I just threw you a curveball. Be careful who you send to represent you. In verses 4 through 16, Brother Hayes, it lists all the men that were chosen. One from every tribe. And in the Jewish perspective this week, it was noted that some of the men, that names that came up in the tribe, their very names meant that you couldn't trust these people. Mm. Don't ever get ahead of God in selecting folk that seem to be all right. Because one of the things that they all had in common, Sister Mills, is that they were of nobility. You know, we judge folk. If you're not from the right party, if you're not from the right ethnic group, if you're not from, if your gender is not right, we judge folk on things that they can't have any control of. Woman didn't have any control on being a woman. None. You are a black man. You had no control over that. You're a white man. You had no control over that. But we as a church, what we can learn from here, from this lesson, is that we need to be careful who we send to represent us. Mm. Because God is in the blessing business, but we can defer our blessings. We can take away from our blessings by who we choose to represent us, by whose testimony we're willing to accept. Oh, somebody better hear me this morning. In verse 17, beginning in 17 through 20, we're going to see what Moses tells them. After God says, okay, look, you got to go check out this land. You said you wanted to check it out. Go check it out. Moses then says, I'm going to give you some specific instructions for checking out this land. Here's what I want you to do. Verse 17, 18, and 19. Brother Hayes.
Verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds.
Now, to me, this reconnaissance mission, Deacon Harmon, is very simple. I'm going to tell you where you need to go, the places you need to go. I need to tell you what you need to observe. And tell me about the people. Very specific. That's your mission. See, many times the people that we select for missions, many times the people that we select to represent us, they don't understand what the real mission is. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, we'll get there. We'll get there. That they don't understand the mission, even though the instructions are very specific. You go here, here, and here. You observe this, this, and this. Tell us about these people, and these people. Yes, sir, we will. We're gonna do it. We're on a mission. We understand the instructions. All instructions evidently aren't clear. Or is it the people in which we give the instructions simply aren't faithful to the cause? Because there's one brother out of that Sithgar, I think it's around verse 4 or 5 there, Brother Hayes, that his name means God hater. Mm. Mm. Why in the world would you ever send anybody to represent you, to represent your church, who's a God hater.
My.
There's another brother in there. His name means distorter of the truth. Why would you ever send anybody anywhere to the grocery store or to your back door? Who ain't going to tell the truth? Because if you send a brother with your money to the grocery store, he ain't going to bring your change back. He's going to lie about the change that you got. So you have to be careful. You have to be prayerful. Because I don't see, maybe intended, this is just Deacon Sneed looking. I don't see where they sit down and they prayed about. That tells me another thing. You ought to bathe everything in prayer. You ought not be voting for folk just to be voting for them. You ought to pray for folk that are going to represent you. Because God has given us this land. And guess what? It's a great land. And we ain't got to make it great again. It has everything that God said it would have. It does for us everything that God says it will do.
Yeah.
What you got to do is possess it. Trust God. Take his word that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And I don't need anybody to go anywhere to tell me something different. Because, see, Moses gave the instructions. That was the word. Whenever you're concerned about the instructions, what you need to do in order to be all that God has called you to be, to possess all that God has called you to possess, to be a people, all that God has called you to be as a person, go to the word, go to the instruction manual. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. And from that, you make your decisions. Because otherwise, you get this cast of characters. Y'all read, when you get some time, read about, I think it's like 4 through 16. It'll be all those guys. Some very interesting, at least three of them in there, very interesting because of their names. It tells you that at least three of them, that there's going to be some mess. But as it turns out, it tells you another thing. You can't trust a name. You can't trust a man's name. Because we give out names. They don't mean nothing. But God has a name that is above every name. His name represents integrity.
Amen.
Wholeness. But yes, I depart. And I can't depart today because I'm on a mission. Brother Hayes?
Verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes.
Well, Moses, that's excellent instructions. You tell me I need to go look at the certain places, the geography, the layout. Tell me whether the city is fortified or not. Tell me what kind of people are there. Tell me the resources that the land has. Simple task. Go do it. Verse 25 says,
and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days.
40 days. 220 miles they traveled. Now, let me tell you something, folk. You travel 220 miles walking. That's no pleasure trip. But I never heard Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy, whether they had a problem with the amount of time. It says that they were thorough in their duties, They went where they were supposed to go. Mm-hmm. They observed what they were supposed to observe. They even bought back the resources that Moses told them to bring back because he knew it was harvest time. So bring back some of those grapes and mm-hmm. pomegranates. Bring them back. And they did it. 40 days. A 440-mile trip. Round trip. 220. Mm. And now they are back. Brother Hayes?
Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land.
We're on the very edge of the promised land. The deepest penetration into the promised land has been over 220 miles. We've gone, we've seen, and now we're back. It tells me when they probably saw those 12 spies, the people got happy. First of all, they're back. We see them. This should have been the anticipation. We see it. Oh, the promised land is so close now, we can just reach out and touch it because we see 12 guys that have come back. They survived. They were not devoured. They're going to tell us something. And if you are part of the faithful congregation, Minister Brown, you know what those faithful folk were saying? Oh, the Lord is about to deliver on his promise to take us to the promised land. Mm. Imagine the excitement. 27.
And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it.
They get back. They start testifying. And they start telling the truth. See, even crooked folk can tell the truth sometimes. But I've always been told that a lie mixed with truth is just a lie.
Amen.
You say God is good. You say, oh, it's just the way that God said it was. If it's just the way that God says it was, there are no buts. Oh, somebody better hear me. Sister Uncle Tree, do you hear me? Just wave your hand if you hear me. If God is so good, how is there a but? Mm. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in, but if God is that good, if God has been that faithful, why is it that you can't tell the truth? And you said, well, Brother Sneed, it sounds good to me. They said that this is just like the Lord said, it does flow with milk and honey. And there is fruit. And matter of fact, they're about to tell you there's evidence of the fruit. We got these big old branches of grapes. Big and harmony. They had a big old tree. They cut down the whole vine and brought it back so that they could see they were big grapes. I knew it was the land of promise when they said they bought back grapes. Because that's my passion. Grapes. I can eat them the way I want to now, but I love some grapes. People in my house like grapes. In fact, my only child was born with a birthmark of a grape on her back. So I can attend that. That's a promise. So God has, the initial report is that, hey, the land is just what God said it was. Verse 28.
Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there.
What I tell y'all, Didn't I tell you, Brother Keith? I told you, didn't I tell you that a lie mixed with the truth is just a lie? Everything that they said in verse 27 don't mean nothing. You know why? Because of verse 28 starts with a word called nevertheless. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless. Oh, it's good. The land is good. It flows with milk and honey. But these are some reasons now I'm about to share with you why we shouldn't go and possess the good land that God has given us. You know what that sounds to me? That sounds like, to me, a Baptist meeting at Resurrection circa 1990. It's good. God is going to be good to us. God has given us some resources. We got a little money. You know, we got some people now. We got some laborers for the harvest. Nevertheless. And now you must move from the national level to a personal level. What thing in your life is keeping you from possessing all that God would have for you and have you be because of your nevertheless? Because you perceive obstacles. First of all, they are not following their assignment, and that's a sin. Whenever you don't follow your assignment, folk, that's a sin. Pastor Brown told you, greet the visitors. That's all he said. Greet them with a kind word, Deacon Harmon. Say something nice to them. Ask them what their birthday is. Ask them if they're traveling. Ask them if they love the Lord. Just greet them, say, glad to have you. Now, when you go back to make your report, Grandma said, did you greet the visitors? Greeted the visitors, but man, we got some weird folk coming up in here. That wasn't your assignment. Your assignment was to make that assessment. Your assignment was to greet the folk. And certainly don't lie about them. You don't know that they're weird. You don't know them. Mm-hmm. It's a prejudgment. Look at this. It says, the cities are walled. They're fortified. And moreover, there's some giant children of Anak. Descendants of Anak. You said, well, person ain't okay. What's the problem there? It's a lie. See, now it's a lie. It's a distortion of the truth. Don't know who, you know, what compelled which one said that, but we think it was that guy whose name is distorter of the truth. Because we know it's a lie because there couldn't have been any descendants of Anak there because they were all killed in the flood. They were all wiped out. You see that, Keith? So when people, your representatives start coming to you, just examine the facts. God gave you a brain. You can read. Just examine it in the light of truth. This was a lie. And this was a lie that is so distorted that it's going to change the people's perception. And that is the purpose of an untruth. The devil is a deceiver. He does not want you to have what God has promised you. And he will use other folk to include leadership to deceive you. And they even start lying. They mix some truth with untruth. Verse 29 and 30.
The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.
You know what I like? No matter what situation we're in, whether it's in the community, in the city, in the church, you can always find that one.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of God's. God says, I only need to get my promises through by one. You'll just be the one. Yo, y'all better hear me this morning. You be the one. When everybody else is lying on Facebook, Twitter, Twitter, Splatter, whatever they TikTok, whatever they do, when everybody else is lying, you stand up for the truth. Or you get out, stop talking, don't say nothing. You've got to stand up for the truth. Because there's a brother here whose name is Caleb. And Caleb says, wait a minute, guys, you're getting riled up here. They start naming off names that appear to be greater than the people of God. Mm. And that made the people of God fearful. So you're not going to go and possess your promise because you're afraid of the obstacle, because there is an obstacle. Nobody promised you that life would be just good every day, that there would be no mountains to climb, that there would be no problems to solve. God promised you the land. But God has never performed a miracle without requesting our participation.
Amen.
If it's nothing but believe. But they saw these folk. Y'all saw them ites there, right? Them ites, brother. But then you saw Caleb. You see the problem, but then you got one who gets up and says, you guys need to chill out. Y'all getting all riled up for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go and possess the land. We need to trust God. And you know what? You know what, Keith? You know what they call you? They call you old fogey when you start talking about trusting God. Ah, mm-hmm. Brother Snead, every time, everything out your mouth, Brother Edmondson, don't mind. You got to trust God. Who else am I going to trust? Am I going to trust your report? Am I going to trust God, who ain't never been wrong?
Mm.
You can't get two sentences together without a lie in it. And I'm going to trust you over the word of God? Caleb says, y'all chill out. Hey, wait a minute. God's been too good to us. God's been too patient with us, Sister Ogletree, for us to be acting like this. We need to go possess the land. Verse 31 and 32.
But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the habits. Excuse me. The land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature.
Minister Brown, would you unmute, please? Could you read for our hearing Exodus chapter 23. As a matter of fact, it's 23 and 23. I believe it is.
23 and what verse?
23.
Chapter 23, verse 24.
23, 24. Hey, you know, I can't never get the numbers right.
Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces.
That's why I said 23.
Okay. 23, my angel will go ahead of you.
You see what I'm saying? Whose report you going to believe? Mm. You're going to believe Minister Brown? You're going to believe T.G.? Verse 23.
My
Verse 23 says what? Keith, I want you to hear verse 23, okay? Verse 23.
My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out.
Yeah.
Brother Maurice, right quick, stay right there, Mr. Brown. Stay right there. Brother Maurice, would you read verse 29 again for us? Because they didn't hear you. They either didn't hear you or they didn't hear Minister Brown.
Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan.
Verse 23, Minister Brown.
My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And
what I will talk to you about. Tell me, y'all just shut y'all mouth. That's what Caleb should have said. But Caleb is more diplomatic than me. Shut your mouths. You know, God had already told her. Wait a minute. Were you surprised that the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites were in the land? God told us that they were going to be there. But God also told us, if we're listening to Minister Brown, that I'm going to send my angel ahead of you guys.
Yeah.
Mm. It's done. I'm going to give you what you need in this land. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from them and the land will be healed. The land has already been healed. God has gone before you. And all those obstacles, they're not your obstacles. You're trying to fight a fight that's not yours. You're preparing for a fight. You're afraid of something that you don't need to be afraid of, because that ain't your, because you are not doing what God asked you to do. One thing, you trust me and I'll fight your battles.
Yeah. Have mercy.
That's how you're going to possess the land. Oh, I'm really proud that y'all went out and scouted the land. I'm really proud that you found out that the land is just as I said it was. Although some of your brethren tried to say that the land devoured, that there was nothing in that report that should have been mentioned about the land just eats you up. But yet they lie. And you know what? You have to ask yourself, why is it that the people who represent us at times, why would they lie to keep you from your blessing? Mm-hmm. I'm glad you asked, Sister Hollis. They lie because they would rather see the system. They would rather see the blessings of God destroyed so that they could maintain leadership over the burnt out rubbish. Mm. They'd rather be in Egypt and be in charge than for you to possess. They would rather you be in the wilderness and wandering. And they are in charge, then you have the liberty that's there in the promised land, that you would have the fruit. Be careful who you let give a testimony, a report about the goodness of God. Be very, very careful. Minister Brown told us the Lord has already fought the battle. The Lord has told us that them Jebusites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Amorites, and the Shalites, as Pastor Brown liked to say, all the mites, they have already been taken care of. Because I'll send my angel of the Lord. You just march. Mm. Brother Hayes.
Verse 30?
Yes. 30, I need you to go to 32 and 33.
Okay, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.
many years ago. I've been around long enough. Pastor Brown's about to celebrate his 32nd year, I believe it is. I think it's his 31st year. I've been around for 30 of those. But one of the greatest sermons that he preached was at a church in L.A. And that sermon was entitled, Bring on the Giants. Mm. The whole essence of that sermon was about there are going to be many big issues in your life. But many of the things that we call big issues, they're nothing but grasshoppers. Mm. You think you're the grasshopper, but Minister Brown already told you, the angel of the Lord, the one omnipotent God who created everything, says, go possess the land. I'll fight your battles. You'll possess the land. The land is just as good as I said it was, because I'm faithful to my promise. All you have to do is trust me.
Yeah.
Can we gather together next week and conclude this to show you what will happen when you don't trust a faithful God? See you guys next week. Have a great day.